first mention of Christ is found in Genesis chapter 3 of all places. Now, if all you had was the book of Genesis, you probably wouldn't fully understand that. But praise God, He gave us more than that. He gave us the rest of His Word. He tells Eve after the sin, in offering mankind grace, mercy, and a second chance. He says she would have a son. It would not be Cain nor Abel nor Seth, but it would be a descendant way down the road named Jesus. And that son would have his heel bruised by the old serpent, Satan. But in doing so, he would crush that old serpent. And he did when he died on the cross. And then many years later, and we don't know how much later, we find in the prophet Isaiah, we find a passage of Scripture that to me, and there's lots and lots of prophecy in the Old Testament about Christ first coming and His birth. But to me, these two are the most vivid, the most easily understood of all the Scriptures. I'm going to read tonight the account of the birth of Christ, starting about 700 years before He came. I'm going to just chronologically go through this. So we're going to go from Isaiah to Matthew to Luke, back to Matthew, and then finally to John. You said, well, Brother Sid, you told us this morning John didn't say anything about the birth of Christ. He didn't give us anything about that account, but there's a very important passage there. Tonight in Isaiah chapter 7, if you want to try to keep up, you can. If not, just listen. In Isaiah chapter 7, that old prophet says, in a time of great distress, great sorrow, and the Lord's judgment upon His people, He gave them hope. And He says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. And then in chapter 9, verse 6, He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given. And the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this will be done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone, to their own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when the eighth day, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was even conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were complete, would have been 40 days, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And they came to offer sacrifices according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. That demonstrates the poverty of Mary and Joseph. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which he spoke and what were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers day and night. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Back in Matthew chapter 2, it says, Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Not so. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east, as they were in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. In John chapter 1, the scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. From that point, all that we know about the life of Jesus for the next 29 years is that to flee Herod and his decree to kill all of the babies under 2 years old in and around Bethlehem. God told Joseph to take Mary and Jesus, and they fled to Egypt, to the southwest. They stayed there for a while. We don't really know how long, until that Herod died and God told him it's safe to come home. And they came back to Israel, back up to Nazareth there in Galilee. We have one other occasion when Jesus was 12 years old. The first time that he came to Jerusalem for the Passover, that was the tradition, the obligation of the law when a child was 12 years old. They went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with their family. And we know the account after the Passover was completed, Joseph and Mary and the others, probably a large band of people, left there on their way back to Galilee. Joseph and Mary assumed, got to be careful with that, that Jesus was with some of the other family and friends. And at the end of the day, as they had traveled together, they came together and they sought out their 12-year-old son Jesus and couldn't find him. I thought he was with you guys. No, we haven't seen him. Where is he? And so they immediately begin to backtrack. They had traveled a day's journey. They immediately begin to backtrack, maybe spent the night, but they begin to backtrack to go to Jerusalem. And where did they find Jesus? In the temple, right where they left him. He was astounding the scholars with what he knew, even as a 12-year-old child. He made a very profound statement. He spoke to his mother, Joseph, his earthly father, and he said, to paraphrase, "Why have you been so worried? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" A 12-year-old Jesus knew what he was doing, why he had come, and his Father's business was that of the Father of God. The Father God that had conceived him by the Holy Spirit brought him into this life. After that 12 years old, we don't hear of him again until he is about 29. What do we find when he's 29 years old? We find him about his Father's business. He goes out and he calls apostles, establishes the church, preaches the gospel of grace and truth, demonstrates the compassion and the love of God for mankind as he made the blind to see, the crippled to walk, cleansed the leper, cast out the demon possessed. He showed compassion as he took the time to speak to a Samaritan woman, an outcast of Israel, the well of Jacob, and told her about salvation. We see him about his Father's business as he goes into the city and wins more. We see him about his Father's business as he teaches and preaches the truth, as he is hounded and tracked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish people in the Roman government throughout his 3.5-year ministry. And then we find him at the end of that 3.5-year ministry, betrayed by one of his very own disciples, one of his own apostles, Judas. He was not surprised. He knew that would be that way when he called him to be an apostle, even though he was never of Christ. But he was deeply hurt and disappointed. Denied and betrayed by his apostle, taken under false accusation, under arrest, his crime, as the Jews declared, was blasphemy. He claimed to be the Son of God. Oh, what they were in an awakening for. He was arrested and put through the mockery of a trial, all going about his Father's business. Later the next morning, about 9 a.m, having appeared before the Sanhedrin, the high priest, Pilate, the Roman governor, Herod, the king of Israel, back to Pilate, about 9 a.m, he was nailed to the cross. As Isaiah says, like a lamb before the slaughter, before the shear, without a word. No resistance, no rebellion. But with words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. With words of compassion and salvation. With words of personal torment and torture, I thirst. With words of victory and glory from the cross, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He gave his life, going about his Father's business. Jesus was born in the most humble, obscure, inappropriate place that you could ever imagine. But folk, he came there in the direction of God to be born so that we might live. He lived that we might live. He died that we might live. That's what we must celebrate this Christmas. I pray, and I know that every one of you that are here tonight know and understand the grandeur of what happened in Bethlehem some 2,020 or so years ago. That little baby, and I love to think about it. When Mary, as I said this morning, when she gave birth to that little baby, exhausted through the normal process of birth, and she held that little baby knowing that she held the Son of God. Man, I'm telling you, what a glorious sight. And I love what it says there, in that one place when the shepherds had come, that she pondered in her heart. I cannot imagine the emotion, the pondering in her heart of what lie ahead for her and her family. Oh, God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus has been rejected from the very, very day He was born. A few weeks, probably, later when the wise men arrived, and they spoke to Herod the king. They came seeking a king. They went to the palace. Oh, and Herod in his deception and his trickery and his evil wickedness. Oh, go find the little fella. I want to come worship him. He would have killed him on the spot. But God intervened because Jesus had His Father's business to do. Jesus was born to save. As the song that is sang many times at this time of year, Jesus was born to die. All that we've read tonight, this chronological reading of the events that led to the birth, or the account of the birth of Jesus, even from the prophecy of Isaiah, all of that, all that we've talked about in His ministry, His life, His death, and his resurrection. Folk, it was all his Father's business that you and me tonight, this little group of folks, can have the hope of eternal life.